The views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of Acuma, its board of directors, its management staff, or its members. The podcast discussion presented is conversational in nature and for general information only.
Hello, and welcome to Acuma's On Point Podcast, a series focused on sharing the stories of people who are making a positive impact in the credit union mortgage industry. I'm your host, Peter Benjamin. Today's episode is being brought to you by Accountable CRM. Accountable CRM is the only CRM with built-in accountability for credit union loan officers. It includes gamified goal settings, follow-up suggestions, prospecting tips, and scripts to increase production. The harder your loan officer work, the smarter it works for them. The software also provides a manager with access to a dashboard that allows them to track weekly progress for their team. Accountable CRM believes that when it comes to CRMs, robust isn't always best. Finally, a CRM that your salesperson will want to use because it's built by credit union loan officers for credit union loan officers. To see a list of the credit unions currently using Accountable CRM and to schedule a demo, visit www.accountablecrm.com. Today, I am fortunate to welcome back to the pod a good friend of Acuma and the credit union movement, Dr. Bruce Lund. Bruce, how are you doing today?
I am doing great, Peter. Thank you so much for once again having me on.
Awesome. Love it. Love it. Thank you for being here. Hey, we're going to dive into a word that and sometimes it frustrates me, sometimes it doesn't, but we're going to dive into a word today that I think you have some good insight on. So we'll get to that. Before we get to it, got to bring in Justin. Hawk, what's the latest and greatest happening over at Acuma? And by the way, how are you doing?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Living it.
So we have a lot going on. We are 1 week away from going to our workshop in Nashville. So if you're coming out to Nashville, Nash Vegas, that's right. See, it's catching on. It's what the locals like to call it. I don't know.
I don't think they really.
They do. I grew up hearing it my whole life.
That's right. Bruce, you used to live in Nash Vegas, right?
Nash Vegas. Yeah. I went to Middle Tennessee State. That's where I did the whole doctoral stuff.
And okay.
Nash Vegas. I knew it before it was really Nash Vegas. It was just starting to blow up.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
It's the bridal party capital of the world, apparently. So anyways,
yeah, Justin, but before it was just Second Avenue and not Broadway.
We're getting sidetracked. All right, Justin.
Because Nashville's awesome. But anyways, then after that, we'll have the YPN meeting coming up at the end of May. So if you're part of the YPN network or if you're just looking to join the YPN network, please come out and attend that. Cameron puts on an amazing meeting every quarter. After that, we'll be in Denver for our June workshop, which is June 11th and 12th. So if you haven't registered, there's still plenty of time to get registered, get your planes, get your hotels booked, all that kind of good stuff. Come out and see us. Make sure you get to come to one of the workshops this year. And then after that, we'll be in Vegas for annual. So September 29th to October 2nd. And then aside from all of that, we also have all of our good virtual programming going on all year round. So Inside Tracks, Fast Tracks, and our favorite On Point podcast.
One thing you didn't mention. Yeah, you mentioned Vegas, right? But, you know, technically, registration for annual opened up a few weeks ago, right? People can go register for annual right now, right?
Yep, that is true. We opened up registration in April. So come out and see us. Go ahead and get your registrations booked.
All right. I love it. Love it, man. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, Bruce. All right. So again, that's not so much. This is a word.
Peter, when I pitched this word to you, I could tell you're like, yes, it's an important topic. However, I feel like it maybe is like one of those words that you kind of cringe at, and I get it. So go ahead and give the word.
So it depends. Like I have heard this. I feel like just thinking back to 2019, 2020, I felt like this was like the corporate buzzword that everyone was using. Every leadership book out there was using this, overused, often misunderstood. But also, if you asked any individual leader what this word meant to them, they probably couldn't answer it, right? And by the way, I'm kind of purposely not saying what this word is, and I apologize to our listeners, but you know, the word is accountability, right? And again, I just remember, you know, having good leaders and bad leaders, right? A good leader, when a good leader said, hey, you know, hold yourself accountable, or we are accountable for our work, right? If someone who I believed in, someone who I viewed as almost like a mentor, someone who has helped, you know, almost like that guiding light in my career, when they said it, I understood it, right? I understood what it meant. But I've had also bad leaders who, and I'm doing bunny ears, right? And I know people can't see me do bunny ears, but, and that's quotation, air quotes. I just heard so many bad leaders use the word accountability or accountable. And I kind of just took it as though that just means I have to do all the work, right? They're not going to do anything. I'm just going to do everything, right? That's how I kind of view it as a bad leader. Now, for me personally, I know I'm kind of going on a rant about this word accountable. You know, I've mentioned it a few times, and so I kind of have a change man. Part of my background is in change management or business optimization, whatever the corporate buzz phrase is for it nowadays. Have my black belt in Six Sigma. So, you know, as part of that, you kind of learn that this process tool called ERACI, right? It stands for responsible, accountable, consulted, and informed, right? It identifies who does what, and it actually defines those words, right? And so for me, I kind of go back to, okay, well, accountability, I understand what that word means, and it's all, I hate when people overuse it. Anyways, Bruce, I'm taking away, I'm stealing your thunder. Bruce, well, let's kind of walk through, you know, your thoughts on, you know, accountability. And by all means, like, feel free to make me feel better about the word.
Let's do it. I'm going to sell this word on you now. I mean,
I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see. All right. So Bruce, why is accountability so important nowadays?
I think
once again,
it's always been important. It always has been important. It always will be important. So first and foremost, right? Like, I think that's one of those things to where, Peter, I think you're right. A lot of these words are overused and misunderstood. So what does it really mean to be accountable, right? Well, I think it actually goes back to, what do you have a clear plan in place, right? Like, what is the goal that you want to achieve? So before you even define, like, what does it mean to be accountable? To me, it goes back to, like, you're talking about whether it's change or goal setting or whatever it is. It's like, this is the outcome that I want to have, right? One of my little Dr. Bruce-isms, you know, I love my little one-liners. The reward always has to be greater than the sacrifice. And when I think about accountability, then I think about, what is the reward that I'm getting? And then what are the sacrifices that I have to make? But Peter, the word accountability, even though I name my CRM accountable CRM, like, the word accountability, I like to use the word responsibility, right? Like, you're responsible for your behaviors, for your actions. And you're talking about the differences between the roles of the coach and the role of the players, right? You know, I love that coaching background, mm-hmm. the athletics. Yep. Former college athlete, played three sports in high school. I think a lot of this, where a lot of leaders and organizations get it wrong, is on the very front end. Again, we have to clearly define the goal and the outcomes that we want to have. But on the very front end, there has to be agreements between the player and the coach. And Peter, I'm not sure if we want to break this into the credit union space. Now, over the last 5 years, I've been coaching some of the top credit unions all over the country. The best credit union leaders know how to clearly define those basic agreements of, hey, this is your role as the player. This is my role as the coach. My role as the coach is to support you, right? Give you that guidance, motivate, inspire. But at the end of the day, it still comes down to that player agreeing to those benchmarks, to the KPIs, to all those different types of things. I know you want to hop in there, man. I can see it.
I mean, chomping at the bit, right? So that dives into, you know, who's responsible, right? Who's on first?
That's right.
And I agree, you know, a good leader, a good, you know, and I, it's tough, you know, coaches often, us also another one of those words that's often overused in our world today. Right. But we'll focus on the word coach with regards to, like, a sports team, right? A good coach is excellent at assigning people to their roles, right? And letting them know, this is what you're responsible for. You know, very similar to you. Grew up playing sports, played sports in college. You know, for me, it was lacrosse, right? My coach, and I played defense, when my coach was very good at saying, this is your assignment, right? Oftentimes, you know, you think about zone defense, you know what your quadrant is, right? That is what I am responsible for, right? And I am accountable for anything that occurs within that zone. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yep. Okay. Do your job, right? Bill Belichick, that's what he's known to say for the last 20 years. Do your job.
I hate that he hasn't gotten a coaching job. I really
do. It's kind of weird, yeah. I mean, he is older, but yeah.
It doesn't seem like we're in a different timeline. We're back in the Matrix. Anyways, Justin, you leaned in.
Yeah, so I mean, I actually thought it was interesting. So are we just kind of, I want to frame it up, but Dr. Bruce, are you saying that you think accountability and responsibility, are those interchangeable terms for us?
I absolutely believe that, right? So responsibility is taking ownership. Once you have a plan in place, right? Again, going back into the leader and the coach or the player coach agreement, here's the plan. These are the expectations, right? And I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of like COVID, post-COVID, but I feel like this is where a lot of people are struggling. It's like, well, as a credit union loan officer during COVID, it was like we couldn't go out, we couldn't network, we couldn't go out and do a lot of these things. And now post-COVID, it's like we're trying to ease people back into that. But yeah, Justin, I think it's the responsibility of the player to obviously take ownership to want to do a lot of these different things. Those, I call them high value activities, right? There's a high value of your time, there's a low value of the time, and then there's a no value of your time. And specific to sales world, high value activities, it's a contact sport, right? So that's where it is, the making of the calls, it's the attending the events. Like, what are those high value sales related activities? And then the low value activities, which unfortunately, in this world of social media and distractions and all that kind of stuff, it's me, you know, I know that we're always like shooting this podcast, but it's like, you know, the NFL draft, right? Like hyping up for the draft. I'm watching the message boards. I want to know what my mock draft is for my team, right? All that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so there's always day-to-day distractions that people have. And so that's accountability, is you have to be a professional, leave your amateur desires behind. Professional means paid. Amateur means not paid. So it really does come down to that. Like, what are those expectations of you during your working hours? And I think that's where a great leader, though, they know how to motivate and inspire their people. They know how to gamify accountability. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so, of course.
I like that you said that, by the way, that someone who's accountable is also can be responsible, right? Because, you know, again, going back to that change management philosophy and that RACI, if you think about it, a RACI identifies a list of things, tasks, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have to identify who is accountable, who is responsible, who should be consulted, and who should be informed, right? Accountability and responsibility are really the two things that is perfectly acceptable for one person to be both, just in a process improvement sampling. You can't really do that. A person can't be accountable and consulted. They can't be accountable and informed. They're either accountable or responsible, and or responsible, or the other ones are separated, right? So I like that you said that, and I completely agree, because it's fundamentally, for me, with my background, you're in line. But anyways, keep going. I love the path that you're taking.
Yep. So I think this comes down to, Peter, like the responsibility, but then, you know, I was speaking at an event a few weeks ago, and it was with Steve Scanlon from Rewire. I don't know if you guys know that name or not. Like, he's very heavy in the mortgage space.
I know Rewire, but I don't know the jump.
Yeah. So Steve Scanlon like founded Rewire, and like that was his book, yeah. All that kind of stuff, right? That whole philosophy, lizard brain, all that kind of stuff, right? So he and I are sharing the stage, and then this is where, Peter, we're talking about coaching and stuff. Like, we have different philosophies. So I get up there and I say, you know, I think it's the job of the manager a lot of times, or the coach. Like, a lot of people just want to be told what to do, right? If I go sign up for a gym membership, I love doing the group workouts, the F45s, the Orange Theories, the Core Power Yoga. When I sign up for something like that, as a player, what am I agreeing to? Hey, I want to go get in better shape, right? Like, that's the reward. Okay, what's the sacrifice? Well, it could be the meal plan that goes with that. It could be, hey, you need to hit 1,000 active calories per day. That's why I wear my little Apple Watch. Right. Like, you need 7 to 8 hours of good sleep. That's why, again, I wear the Apple Watch for my pillow app, and I track all that kind of stuff. Right. So, but there's agreements on the front end, but I just want to be told what to do. I want to be told what the goals are, what the responsibilities are for me as a player, versus me trying to figure it all out. Because that's when a lot of people, you know, we get confused, or we overanalyze, or we want the perfect thing and that doesn't exist. So, you know, I that's where I come back to, again, the player agreement relationships in all of our lives. You know, whether it's your significant others, I don't have one of those, right? So you guys can maybe speak more candidly about those, right?
You're opening a can of worms, man. You're opening a can of worms. Ooh, I plead the fifth.
Dr. Bruce is trying to get us in trouble.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah.
Go ahead and edit those ones out, right? Yeah, but
we can splice this whole segment out right here.
So we have accountability, though, in all these different areas of our lives, like financially, personally, professionally, and all that kind of stuff. But I just think it goes back, Peter, to our main point. most people, when they hear the word accountable or accountability, we perceive it as a negative rather than it can be a positive, right? Like accountability is, it's going to help me reach my goals. It's going to help me be more professional. And then you learn how to celebrate that, right? So instead of having this negative connotation, which is, well, you're not doing what you should be doing. And I think this also ties into today's market, right? Like, let's face it, in 2023, 2024, people are not hitting the numbers that we want them to hit. And so I think that's where a lot of people lean into, well, you put them on a PIP plan, right? Or whatever that acronym is, a performance plan, right? And like those right. hardly ever work out, by the way, if you do the math on that, Peter, if you actually like study performance
plans. That literally is the first steps of getting rid of somebody.
Yeah.
That's all it is, right? And sorry to interrupt, but what I struggle with, right, is that it's often used, the word accountability, you know, it's a powerful word, and it's so powerful that it has the ability to motivate an individual to great things, right? And by the way, side note, I don't know how you sleep with a watch on, man. I just don't.
Yeah, I've been trying to figure that out.
Like, seriously, I would be scratching my face. Anyways, so
It's got a rubber handle, you know, like this is the only watch I've ever been able to wear. I've always tried those metal ones and I have hairy arms and the hair gets caught in it. So, yeah.
I mean, I have it's not like a NATO strap, but anyways. I digress. It's a powerful word when used correctly, right? It has the ability to motivate people to great things. What I struggle with is that oftentimes when it's used to say, from especially a bad leader trying to tell someone that they are accountable for ABC, it doesn't really matter, whatever role, whatever task, right? It's often means that person's not holding themselves accountable for their work either, right? That I think that's what I struggle with, right? Is that people are using it and not really, you know, doing the Michael Jackson, song, the man in the mirror, right? They're just not doing it. And that's why I get so mad whenever I hear that. I mean, Justin, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I probably never use that word in our organization.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard you say it. I mean, I do like how you guys keep describing it as like, taking that ownership of it, activity or, if a leader says, you're accountable for this. I don't know that I agree with the thought that means that they're not holding themselves accountable. I do think that people in general are their biggest critics. I know I've said that to Peter 1,000 times, like I'm my biggest critic all the time. And so I feel like when it comes to accountability, you hold yourself to be more accountable. But if someone's telling you that, like that's, I don't know, it seems like a real big blow to your self-esteem.
Well, I've also worked with a lot of narcissists. And so that very well could be it.
Yeah.
So it's with a narcissist, they're doing nothing wrong. Right. They're the perfect one. They're doing everything that they need to do. Right. So maybe that's it. Right. Maybe it's the narcissist over abusing it.
Peter, I think this is a great dialogue right here with you and Justin. It's to me, everything goes back to the 80-20 rule as well. Right. And I think, unfortunately, Peter, in your experience and all of our experiences as leaders, coaches, managers, whichever phrase you want a word for that, it's the bottom 20% that ruin it for everyone. And I think that's the challenge a lot of us have is we, as leaders or coaches, a lot of people, especially in corporate America, not necessarily athletics. That's why I love athletics so much, right? Because if you're that bottom 20%, there's always somebody ready to replace you, right? There's always that next draft or whatever it is. There's free agency that somebody's ready to come in. But in leadership, Peter, correct me if I'm wrong, because you've been a part of a lot of like different organizations. A lot of leaders, it's like we give 80% of our good energy to the bottom 20% because we're trying to coach them up. And then you give your leftover crumbs to the top performers or the people who matter the most. I don't know. And I think that's where like this accountability, it's like, I think that's where that word is. Again, it's typically used with underperformers or it's used as a negative rather than the way that I want to rephrase it. And Justin, to your point, it's for solopreneurs, it's for intrapreneurs, right? So Justin's an intrapreneur, right? You take ownership, Justin, of your role at Acuba, and you're going to bust your butt. You're going to do everything that you can, right? But I guarantee you want some level of accountability. You want to know what those standards are that either you're going to hold yourself to or that Peter and Krista and the organization is going to hold you accountable to doing. That's going to help you level up. That's going to help you reach your potential. So I think that's where a lot of us, again, Peter, on the organizational side of this, it's that 80-20 rule. And we see accountability as, well, it's really trying to get that bottom 20% up to perform better. And we see it as a negative rather than a way to gamify it, make it fun. And it's for those top producers to go out there and really crush it in those roles. Obviously, I more speak to the loan officer side, right? The sales side of this. For those and the KPIs and those player coach agreements and our accountable CRM, helping people kind of the follow-ups and the task and making it fun within all that. But it goes for any role in any organization. How do we rephrase that word accountability to not be a negative, perceived as a negative? How do we make it fun? How do we celebrate success? How do we celebrate all those different types of things?
So it's interesting, right? You know, prior to joining, you know, so here I don't necessarily know, I can't speak to that, right? Because, you know, we are a group of the hardest workers in the room. And I say that time and time again. The four of us, especially when we are in lockstep, can accomplish anything. There's absolutely no reason with four people to do what we do in the past, say, 2 years. It's mind blowing, right? So I can't speak to my experience here at Acumen, right? We know what we have to do to get the job done. But, you know, just thinking back to my time as, you know, head of a mortgage division, my last position, where I oversaw ops and I oversaw sales. The tough part is I wanted to focus on the top performers, right? They're the ones out there busting their butts, bringing in the business, doing what they have to do, right? And oftentimes, yes, did I reward them for their success? I did. But what the problem is, you know, it's the dichotomy of leadership, right? You are oftentimes forced to focus in on that bottom 20, right? Or the underperformers, because they are underperforming, take you away from supporting the top performers. It's just nature of the beast, right?
I mean, it's like you almost got to get those bottom 20% as you're describing them to the middle of the playing field, get them to that 50% line. So that way, at least you start to have a little bit more of a well-rounded team.
Or ask if you can even get them to that level, right? Do they want to go to that level? Are they, and that's where, again, the accountability piece comes into play. Guys, I don't want to use the word because it's, I don't want to offend our crowd here. It's
like accountable.
Accountable, coach them up or coach them out, right?
It's true though, man.
And that's where I see, listen, man, I love you, my credit union friends. Like the last couple of years, I've been working with some of the top credit unions all over the country. And I'm coming in as the 90-day sales manager, right? And coaching all these LOs. And what I have found, Peter, and this is just a general stat that I have found is, and Justin, you have the bottom 25, you have the middle 50, you have the top 25, right? The top 25, man, they're going to be early adopters. They want the coaching, they crave it, all that kind of stuff. They're going to go do whatever they can. The middle 50 could go either way though. And so they might follow that top 25, or they need Dr. Bruce to help motivate, inspire them, give them that clear plan, all that kind of stuff to kind of level up. And that's where Peter, Justin, you guys as an organization, that's where you make your money, right? It's coaching up that middle 50, but the bottom 25 are the ones that are like, hey, I've been doing it. You know, it's just, I'm complacent. You know, I'm like, retirement's like nearby. I'm not willing to do some of these other things, right? All that kind of stuff. But my credit union friends, what I realize, and I don't know if it's compliance or it's the HR, stuff like that. Again, Peter, I'm not trying to get in trouble on here. But that's where a lot of it's like, well, we don't really fire people, or we don't really let people go, or we just rearrange them, you know, sort of a thing. And I think, and I talked about this last year at Acumen Annual, right? And these markets, I mean, there's more talent than ever before that's out there that's chomping at the bit to get some of these different opportunities, right? And I think that's that. And bringing back to accountability, it's like, man, how do we rephrase that accountability piece to see it as a positive rather than a negative, to see it as a gamified way? Yep.
I know I'm going to get in trouble for this. And
I know, I feel like I'm getting in trouble.
No, it's okay. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm fully expecting a phone call from somebody saying that I was wrong, which is fine. I'm wrong all the time. I'm wrong half the time. I am. But you're right. I think one, you know, when it comes to like credit unions, and I saw it at community banks. I did. You know, there, one thing I love about credit unions is there is a strong focus on culture, right? A very strong focus on culture, right? And so because there is such a strong focus on culture, it does make it difficult to separate, right? At the same time, I found, and typically is with, you know, credit unions, they're kind of gets to a point where there's like this complacency where just people don't want to do their jobs, right? And oftentimes it's a non-salesperson role, HR. sorry, Justin. and because of that, that makes it difficult to kind of separate with an underperformer. I can't tell you how many metrics I had that showed whether or not someone was performing or not. Sometimes it was like pulling teeth to fire them. Like I couldn't, like they had to do something seriously wrong in order for me to separate with them. So that's what you often see with credit unions. Now, you know, larger credit unions, ones that are a little bit more robust, a little bit more sophisticated, that kind of are a little bit more forward thinking. Yes, culture is still important, but it's about finding the right people. You know, I think it's not so much with them, right? I know some of your clients that you work with, ones that see success, they probably work for an organization that has no problem, right? No problem cutting ties. But some of them that probably could use your help are the ones that struggle with it the most. So just my thoughts. Just I'm waiting for.
I'm letting you get. I'm letting you get in trouble.
Peter, all right, you're just gonna let me dig my own grave. I appreciate it.
I mean, at the end of the day, though, and one thing that I've always been told is, and I think the reason why people have such of a hard time letting people go, right, like moving them out, is because it's the key word that we're touching on over and over again. But it's people, right? It's not just so simple. Yeah, that's what really comes into it. It's not just so simple to like cut ties and just be like, the relationship's over, you know, move on. Like there's a whole nother aspect of that person has a family. That person might have kids. That person has bills, right? Like that comes into it. And whether we want it to or not, it comes into that decision-making process of, you know, move up, move out.
Right. So firing someone is never the easiest thing. Making those phone calls is never easy, or pulling them into their office. It's the hardest things I've ever done. I've lost too many nights of sleep based around that. But when the information's, you have to separate yourself, personal and business. Lose sleep over the fact that you're impacting their family. Lose sleep over that, right? But you know, as a leader, are you going to be, you are accountable for their stuff, right? In theory, right? And the work of your team. And so you have to view it as a business decision. They're not performing. I have the data showing that they're not performing. I have to cut ties. It's the right thing for our business. And sometimes for me, the thing I struggle with is, no matter how much data I had, I couldn't articulate that enough to say the eight people in HR.
Yeah. It could just be the people side. It could always be the people side. Because even if you can articulate it,
It
comes down to someone else going, I see what you're saying. No, they have to remove the emotion too.
I think it's a fear of the impact to the perception of how it impacts the culture. You know, because in theory, the culture leaders of an organization tends to be senior leadership in HR, right? Typically in marketing, because that's like the fun group. It's supposed to be the fun group.
No, we are the fun group. It's right in our title, marketing.
Seriously, party planners. but it's.
Well, I think we're talking, Peter. I mean, we're.
Thank you for saving me. Thank you.
We're still talking accountability. No,
I've been waiting for you to kind of pick this up. Come on.
No, I love. Listen, I've learned how to listen a whole lot better at my ripe age of 40 now. You know.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. It's been a journey. It's been a journey. Justin, the word, and I mean, it's going to be cliche, but one of the best expressions that I've heard when it comes to this topic of, yes, they are human beings for sure. Coach them up, coach them out is a little intense. I get that, right? But the expression then that I learned through, you know, the behavioral sciences stuff with this human performance is, you free them up to chase other passions, right? So if you continue to have these same conversations and they're not seeing their work as their vocation, it's an occupation, right? Your vocation is your voice or calling, rather than your occupation is something that occupies your time that you receive a paycheck for. And so some people need to be freed up to go chase other passions. And if you don't do that, what happens organizationally, culturally, is we encourage what we allow, right? This goes back to that accountability. Well, if you're allowing, you know, the bottom 20-25% to just kind of go along to get along, not doing what they should be doing, then now how does that affect the organization as a whole culturally? Well, maybe I don't need to do those sales calls. Maybe I don't need to go attend those events, right? And so I think that's where all of this is intentional congruence. All parts feed all parts. But you're right. There is the human side of it for sure. But at the end of the day, if we want to have a high performing culture and organization, we encourage what we allow. And so I do think it goes into that part of it for sure.
No, I agree. I agree. Now, Bruce, I hate to do this because I feel like we could probably talk about this for another 30 minutes, but we have to start transitioning. So
right. We talked for 40 minutes already, right? Let's play some Jeopardy. Is that what we're about to do here, Peter?
We are. Okay. But I do want to give you an opportunity for final thoughts.
Okay.
So, Dr. Bruce, final thoughts on just the simple word of accountable that I can't stand.
The word of accountable in general, Peter, I think we have to definitely redefine what that means, right? Just like whether it's a sales culture, I know sales can be perceived as a negative word in the credit union space. I think it's just giving a lot of these words meaning: consistency, discipline, coaching, accountability. I think a big part of all of this is defining what that actually means within you, your organization, your team. But then it goes back to, if you're a leader listening to this right now and you're talking about your current team, and maybe it is that bottom 25% that it's like, listen, we need to coach them up. The coach employer agreements. So I think this goes back to, what are the very basic agreements that we need to have, our expectations for you as a player? Peter, this is where I would kind of shamelessly plug our accountable CRM. It's the only CRM that's the built-in accountability.
You guys are the Accountable CRM is today's episode sponsors. Thank you.
I need to change the name of my CRM now, Peter, since you don't like that word accountable. Just
joking. No.
I'm kidding. We call it that for a reason, because we're tackling that concept, but it's the only CRM that has built-in accountability, a built-in KPIs, built-in follow-up suggestions, all that kind of stuff. That's gamified. That makes it fun. So I think that's the biggest thing, is how do we make accountability fun and cool again? How do we make KPIs cool again, right? How do we make goal setting cool? How do we make celebrating success? So it's all these negatives that we perceive as like being more accountable, but it's not. And we have to gamify that word and make it fun again. But it comes down to those player coaching agreements on the very front end. We all need some level of accountability. Everybody competes harder when there's a scoreboard, whether it's my little Apple Watch here tracking my active calorie, my sleep REM, all that kind of stuff. Like, I want to know that I'm hitting these goals, these benchmarks, and that keeps me motivated.
Okay. Fantastic. So I'm going to ask you my normal final question, even though you've already answered it once in our first episode of the ACMA On Point podcast that you were a guest at, not the first ever, but the first podcast that we record together. Yep. What keeps you motivated? What keeps you driving every single day?
That is a great question. I mean, not to get too scientific, there's a book called Drive by Daniel Pink. And what he says in that book is we're all motivated by, he says, one of three things: autonomy, purpose, or mastery, right? Autonomy would be you work for freedom, you work for the weekend, you know, you work for whatever it might be, right? And then mastery is, I want to just be the best at whatever it is. And then purpose is, it serves a bigger purpose, right? So obviously the credit union is like, hey, we're here to serve our members, sort of a thing. I use the word progress. If I'm not making progress towards something, if I'm not chasing my potential, then I don't want to say depressed. That's a strong word, right? So I don't want to use that word. But whenever I feel like I'm getting stagnant or I'm stuck, then that's when I become demotivated, my own self, right? So that is what drives me, Peter. It really is like, if I can help somebody go from, especially, you know, credit union loan officers, if I can help them go from, I think I can do this, to, I know I can do this, to, I'm doing this, like, that's when I get the most benefit in my business, right? I've coached 100 plus million dollar producers in mortgage, but man, I love watching that $5, $10 million producer go to 20 to 40, to where, look at all these things now that I can do because of that, right? So that's what gives me my purpose, is when I can help other people go out there and really reach their potential and help accelerate that process. And then I get the reviews, right? Like, that's when it's fun for me, when I see these texts or the emails, it's like, hey, this program changed my life.
Okay. Love it. I love that answer. Really do. All right, Bruce, time to transition.
Peter, I think we should shut it down now, because I am the smartest dumb kid you'll ever meet. So you're wanting to do this Jeopardy thing here. And if it's not sports related, I'm in trouble. But here we go.
No, you're not. You're playing me.
Yeah, seriously, Justin has, in the history of ACMA's On Point podcast Jeopardy, Justin's won once. So once. Just once. All right. So...
I'm very proud of my one.
Who is that one person? Put him on blast right now. Just joking.
No, she did great.
She did great. It was a close game.
Yeah, I just got lucky with a pot of gold.
Yeah, okay. Seriously. Anyways, it's actually true. That was the answer.
It was.
All right. So, second segment, normally we do fun facts, trivia. dad jokes. You know, today we are playing Jeopardy, like Bruce hinted at. Now, you know, here we are, you know, start of May, you know, the official start of summer. I think we I'm not really a summer person. I kind of give me fall and early spring, but the official start of summer, I call it patio weather. Just nothing better than sitting outside with an ice cold beer on my deck or on my patio, just after I cut the lawn. Ooh, there's nothing better than that. Anyway, so
a fresh smell of cut grass. I love
it. That's right. That's right. So here we are. You know,
and early, it's my birthday month. Just a shameless plug out there. May 11th. If you guys want to ship me some tequila, I'm more than happy to take it. But
how about a Acme On Point podcast coffee mug?
Okay, that'll work.
Okay, good. You can drink your tequila out of that Acme On Point podcast coffee
that'll mug.
That'll work. Anyways, all right. So today we're going to do a little summer Jeopardy. So here we are, start of May. So May Day is a pretty popular holiday spent, or we're actually celebrated throughout the world. So here I am. I'm going to go and pull up my Jeopardy board. Now, just like always, I'll go ahead and describe it to our listeners. In front of Bruce and Justin, we have our standard, typical Jeopardy board. You know, five different categories ranging anywhere from points of 100 to 500. Bruce, for the sake of this game, you are team one. Justin, you are team two. Now, the categories are, again, five categories, all summer related. Category one is smell the pretty flowers, precipitation, sunshine, when there's an exclamation after sunshine, spring, and there's an exclamation after spring, and gardening. So, Dr. Bruce, you are our honored guest. Please pick a category. And, of course, category and a dollar amount. Or not so much a dollar amount, but a point value.
Well, I would love to start out with sunshine with an exclamation point. In honor of, this is a shout out to my newest account executive, Robin, because her nickname is Sunshine. So there we go, Robin.
And she lives in the Sunshine State, right?
And she lives in Florida. It's the Sunshine State.
There you go. All right. So Sunshine, give me a point value.
Let's start with a 500. Let's go right for the top, right? Everyone starts with 100.
Now, I didn't warn you this time. And perhaps this will play to Justin's strategy of making sure I forget to tell people this. But sometimes these Jeopardy boards that I have, those 500 levels are tough. Only one time was it the easiest question ever. And it was the one time that Justin won. So
should I start out with 100?
No.
Start with a 500.
No, we're locked in. Okay. All right. So sunshine, and I did that as high as I possibly could to show excitement because it has an exclamation. Sunshine for 500. A song from Annie reminds us that the sun will come out tomorrow and that you should therefore bet this.
When it comes out tomorrow.
I love that you sung that.
I don't know what Annie's betting though. You should
do.
Do you really?
Yeah.
All right, Justin, do you want to steal? All right, so Bruce, give me an answer, and then Justin, I'll give you an opportunity to steal.
You should bet, therefore, bet this, that you'll wake up the next day. I don't know.
Justin, do you want to steal, or you want to let it play?
I mean, I'll let it play. I know the answer, though. All
right, let it play.
Why are you going to let it play? Just take it.
All right, fine. Bet your nice bottom dollar.
Oh.
Bet your bottom dollar. The correct answer is your bottom dollar. Oh, my gosh. Justin knows musicals.
I do. I love musicals, actually.
Excellent. All right. So sorry, Bruce. I'm going to deduct 500 from you. Justin, congratulations. You get 500.
Yes. Dang, I'm in the hole. Oh, so I shouldn't even have guessed. I should have just passed.
No, you would have still lost.
Okay. I'm just making sure here.
And you lose the points if you get it wrong on a steal, too, by the way. Yeah, he doesn't like to tell you that.
You do. No.
Literally the worst start I could possibly have, down 1,000. But let's continue on.
Acuma's On Point podcast, Jeopardy, the host is really ruthless. Like, I'm cutthroat when it comes to these points. So, all right, Justin, your turn.
All right, so we're not doing precipitation.
Because the last time we played, you...
Oh, my gosh.
Justin's not no science. He knows musicals. Science? Does not know science.
Let's go with spring.
I love it.
An exclamation point for 500.
Ooh, big. This term is for a short-lived period of...
Liberalization
in Czechoslovakia in 1968. The term for a short-lived period of liberalization in Czechoslovakia in 1968.
It's not in English, so it doesn't matter.
let's see, a term for a short-lived period is a month.
So the story, the historian, me is probably saying it has something to do with a war, and there was a period of time. I wouldn't know
that one either.
All right, so you're just saying a month.
A month.
All right, so the correct answer is the Prague Spring.
Didn't have to do with the war either.
All right, so sorry, Justin, you are
spring.
Back to zero.
Justin, we forgot that had to do with spring in some way.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. All right, so.
I did. Month of spring.
All right, so at the end of one round, we have Dr. Bruce with negative 500 and Justin with zero. All right, so Dr. Bruce.
Your audience is riveted right now, Peter, with Justin and I.
No, they absolutely love this. This is they love this. All right, keep going. All right, Bruce, give me a category.
Let's do smell the flowers for 100. I'm just trying to get on the board here.
Go easy. I love it. Smell the flowers for 100. The Netherlands, meaning low-lying country, is also known as the land of these flowers.
Low-lying country.
No, I'm looking for the flowers.
I know. Also known for. I know. I was wondering why they had the low-lying country. Like that's a clue.
With I them. Don't know. No, I don't write these, but some of these people just totally butcher it. All right, Bruce.
Roses.
Okay. Final answer. All right, Justin, you want to guess? Steal?
Dandelions.
Dandelions. All right, so I'm gonna say tulips.
Oh, that was my second guess.
It
was
correct. Answer is tulips. Woo! All right, so sorry, Justin, because you tried stealing, and Bruce, because you got it wrong in the first place.
Oh man, I might be your first ever contestant. It's gonna be the negative.
No, you're not. There have been significantly lower scores than what we're seeing right now. All right, so good. All right, so final round.
No,
actually, no, it's not. Justin, sorry, your turn.
All right, we're going to do gardening for 300.
I love it. Gardening 300. Bigger than seeds, they store plants, I guess multiple plants as food in winter, plant some in the fall, and you'll see snowdrops in spring. So bigger than seeds, they store plants food in winter, plant some in the fall, and you'll see snowdrops in spring. I have no idea.
Sunflowers.
All right, I like that answer. I like that. All right, so we're gonna go sunflowers.
I'll say sunflower. I don't think it has to do with the flower though.
I don't know.
It's gardening. Bigger than seeds, they store plants.
Once again, Peter, I'm just gonna pass, so I'm not gonna try to steal.
No, I love it.
I'll just take sunflowers.
Sunflowers. All right. Bulbs.
Sunflowers have bulbs. I think I get that one.
Do they?
I don't know. I'm just
man. This Jeopardy game makes me feel incredibly stupid.
Don't. All right. So now we're on the final round. All right. At the end of two rounds, we have Dr.
I Bruce thought this podcast was supposed to be uplifting.
It is uplifting.
Feel good about your.
Everyone's
life.
Laughing right now.
Then you get on.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely laughing.
They're definitely laughing. So this is good.
At and then there's with. We don't want to be laughed at.
Okay. All right. So at the end of two rounds, Dr. Bruce -600, Justin -400. All right, Dr. Bruce, your final question. Go.
I need one for 300. Let's do sunshine for 300.
That sunshine.
Seems like the easy category.
Sunshine with exclamation for 300. Also called Surya Namskar? I have no idea. I told you, I had a hard time finding one that was in English. All right, so also called Surya Namskar, butchering that. This sequence of poses is a way to greet the day or warm up before your daily practice.
It's either going to be stretching or yoga.
All right. So give me one. You have
to
I think you go with the latter.
That would be stretching or yoga. I'm going to go yoga.
Yoga. All right. So Justin?
Rubbing your hands together.
Are you just trying to get something wrong?
No, I think that's the answer.
All right. Okay. Sun salutations. That's
part of yoga.
Sun salutation. I actually know that. Sun salutations is part of yoga. I'm going to give it to Bruce. Sorry, Justin.
Rubbing your hands together is part of yoga too, I bet.
It's not.
It's not. Danielson. Mr. Miyagi.
That's all I was thinking. Start your day.
All right,
Warm Justin. Your hands up.
All right, Justin. You're at that point where you need to either beat him or lose worse than him. So
you have to go 500, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
I want to go for a tie, though. So there's no winner. No, I'll go sunshine. No, I can't do sunshine. Dang. I can't do flowers.
Let's go precipitation for 500.
I dig it. I love it. That's a good category. Precip 500. Drivers can thank Mary Anderson for creating an early form of this. Move by a handle from inside a streetcar to clear rain. Don't Google it. You grab your phone.
That's because I got a text message in my computer dings at the same time. Drivers can think, who's Mary Anderson for creating an early form of this? Move by a handle from inside a streetcar.
I think I know this.
Clear rain.
I know this. And I know it for a weird reason, but keep going.
I don't know.
It's a guess.
A street sweeper?
Okay, street sweeper.
Which I know is wrong.
All right. Street sweeper. Bruce.
Listen, I'm not going to answer because if he doesn't get it right, I win, right?
Correct.
Well, if you answer and you get it wrong and I'm wrong, you still win.
Oh, that's true.
That's true.
This is the last question no matter what?
Last question.
Yeah. Okay. I was just thinking a windshield wiper.
All right. So I agree.
That's a great guess.
I agree. It's windshield wipers. And the reason why I think it's windshield wipers is that was a couple months ago. Actually, maybe it was a year ago. Ford came out with a man-only car, man-only Explorer. Do you guys remember that marketing promo where it was a Ford Explorer that you could buy that only had parts invented by men? I'm pretty sure they listed Mary Anderson as the inventor of windshield wipers. And so that's why the car didn't come with windshield wipers. It was a joke. Not so much a joke, but it was a PR campaign saying, gotcha. Anyways, so windshield wipers. The correct answer is windshield wipers. Bruce.
And I didn't finish in the negative. Look at that.
Congratulations, Justin. This might be one of your lowest.
It is. It's okay.
That was one heck of a turnaround, the last two questions.
That was. Justin, you pulled out early, and then bam, Bruce is like, hold my beer, hold my tequila. I'm gonna win this thing. So, Dr. Bruce, congratulations. You win today's episode of Acme's On Point Podcast Jeopardy with a score of 200. Justin, sorry, you came in second place with a score of negative 1,200.
All right, I was still in second.
Still in?
First place.
What Ricky Bobby said, if you're not first, you're last, right?
That's right.
That's right. All right, so Dr. Bruce, thank you very much for joining us today on the Acme's On Point Podcast. We really enjoyed our conversation with you again. It's always good seeing you, always good catching up. But again, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, guys. And I'll be seeing you out in Las Vegas here in a few months. So.
You sure will. You sure can't will. Wait. And Justin, thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
Of course. And a final thank you to our today's episode sponsor, Accountable CRM. Thank you for supporting the Acme's On Point Podcast. Dr. Bruce, thank you for supporting Acme's On Point Podcast. And really to everyone else, thank you very much for tuning in to today's episode. We know your time is valuable, and we appreciate you listening in for a short period of time to our fun little podcast. Be on the lookout for the latest and greatest coming out of Acuma, and I guess we'll see you next time. Take care.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time at the Acuma On Point Podcast. If not already, be sure to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. For more great episodes and information, be sure to visit us online at acuma.org. And to get the latest updates, head over to our LinkedIn page.